It's Friday, August 30th, and I bet you're glad it's Friday.
It's been a tough week for everybody. I think we can safely say that.
Yeah.
Brain forest is burning.
Still.
The poor Hong Kong people.
I'm really surprised at how the extent to which China is escalating that situation.
I think, well, in terms of the people, I think that was a bit of a coiled spring.
Yeah.
They've dealt with a lot of despotism, so I can see how that, you know, went too far. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about social media. And let's start with YouTube. A lot of interesting announcements from YouTube this week, interesting developments. The least interesting of which we will start with, which has to do, of course, with the poor children, because YouTube is constantly having problems being kid-friendly.
YouTube says it will now remove violent and mature videos pretending to be kid-friendly.
Okay. It's interesting. I don't watch child-related stuff on YouTube, but apparently this is pretty common. So pretending means categorizing it or tagging it or titling it in such a way that makes it seem like it's for kids. But in reality, it's sexual or violent or whatever.
Would this be one of those things that YouTube could have avoided if they just had unambiguous categories to be like, this is for YouTube kids?
No, I don't think they could have avoided this necessarily, because people would still abuse that.
I wonder if our old video with the Barbie Dreamhouse would be flagged because, you know, discussing the world technology news is probably a more mature subject matter, but everything that had Barbie Dreamhouse in it was just like the related ads and videos, like people's recommendations were messed up for weeks.
Well, it wasn't violent. I mean, it's never come to open violence in the Level 1 news. Well,
there is a lot of really disturbing videos, because I went down the rabbit hole on this, and that's when I discovered the animal mutilation channels. And there's one channel that's just, it's very bad. It's just filled with, it's like, how is this still on the internet?
Can you imagine meeting a girl at a bar and she's like, oh, what do you do? I'll have an animal mutilation channel on YouTube. I have 200,000 subscribers. It's very popular. This week we're doing a raccoon. And the YouTube union we talked about before, turns out, now this was the slingshot guy. I watched this guy's videos, although I usually see him in terms of doing like crossbows and stuff. I didn't even know he did slingshots. But he is leading this coalition to try and get more rights. And YouTube tried to ignore it, but ultimately could not.
Google agrees to meet with YouTubers union right before the deadline. So this is in Europe. There's a guy that's forming a union of YouTubers, like, and it's like the future of work. And Google's like, oh no, we can't just mess with stuff. So the plan is for this union, the union's plan, I should say, is for them to use European laws like the GDPR to force Google to disclose exactly how the algorithm works. Currently, it seems to be powered by clickbait. If you see a video thumbnail or something from our channel and you click into it, it's powered by the thumbnail. Whereas in the past, it was more powered by like content and watch time. We did pretty good. But now where it's clickbait, not so much.
Now, YouTube's response to this was kind of weird. They said, we are happy to come to the table and sit down and talk about the future of work and, you know, blah, blah. But they were very clear to point out, we will not be meeting these demands.
We're not going to negotiate. That's what they said, actually.
This guy's response was, that's the only solution. You will give us what we want, or we're going to take it to the next level. So,
I would say that nothing will come of this, but the fact that the European laws are so restrictive, I think the European Union being sympathetic to this situation, it's like, look, these are creators. They want to earn money by creating videos that people want to watch. What can you precisely specify on what criteria your algorithm judges a video to do well? I think that the European Union probably would force Google to disclose that.
It would really hurt them, because
people will then game the system.
Well, not just that, but guaranteed it is a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
And it's totally ad-based.
Yeah.
And when we find that out, it's going to be very embarrassing for Google and YouTube.
Yeah.
But that'll be a great day if we do find that out. Now, the other problem with YouTube that everybody experiences is DMCA and strikes and copyrights and things like that. Last week, we found out they're kind of changing it a little bit in terms of the background music thing. But this article points out there is so much wrong with it.
Man sued for using bogus YouTube takedowns to get address for swatting. YouTube sues man for multiple egregious abuses of the DMCA takedown processes. Now, if this story sounds familiar, it's because it is. This is the same story, same guy that was harassing Minecraft players would do two strikes on their channel and then send them a thing that's like, you got to pay me, you know, $150 or whatever, and I won't send you a third strike. But if you don't pay me, then I'm going to have your channel erased. So it turns out this guy was also doing that to get addresses for swatting.
But that's only if you outed him and argued with him about the other thing. Now, YouTube finding out about this and actually getting to the bottom of it. Somebody finally got a human being to respond on the YouTube end, which is almost impossible with DMCA. Now they have decided to sue this individual on behalf of...
Because it's pretty great. I mean, with Google, you got to imagine they've got a rather large army of lawyers on retainer. It seems like that this should have been dealt with sooner because of that.
Now you're probably thinking, as I was when I read that, why are they suing that person? That's criminal. Swatting is criminal. What they did is they should be in prison. Now, the problem is they can't actually prove that that person did the swatting. So, seems, I mean, the evidence is circumstantial, but it is a lot. There's a lot of it. So, I don't know. We'll see. Moving to Facebook, do you remember when Mark Zuckerberg was on his apology tour and he said, I know that, you know, what we did was wrong and blah, 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 and privacy. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to take all this data about how we do all this horrible stuff, and we're going to let people study it. And you'll see it's a force for good. That sounded pretty good, right? Sounded kind of like the story we did in the last episode with the tips, the DoorDash tips.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, okay, that sounds good. Yeah, let's do that. And then the same thing has happened here.
Facebook has said it would give detailed data to academics. They're still waiting. I think the only way to feel reasonably confident about this project is if you ignore what's happened over the past 16 months. I think Facebook did this study internally, and it was very bad.
Yeah.
And they were like, we probably shouldn't give this to academics.
And they're trying to figure out a way to give them something that's watered down in a way that they can't figure out if it's watered down.
Yeah.
There's probably a team working real hard on that.
Yeah.
So
a lot of misdirection and subterfuge.
But that
would be my guess.
That in itself probably just goes to show you how bad it is. Because it's so bad, they're willing to just ignore the fact that he said that. We've also learned about Libra, the Facebook currency, and there was a lot of hype.
A lot of U.S. policymakers also really scared of that.
Well, yeah. The hype about Libra was so big, and the reason it was so big is because of his coalition of the willing among all the banks and businesses, and they're like, yeah, well, sure, we'll take that. I mean, it's Facebook, right? Well, that group, which Gizmodo calls the crypto mafia, they've started to hear from some of those lawmakers.
Members of Facebook's crypto mafia reportedly getting cold feet about the Libra currency. They're like, guys, maybe we shouldn't do this. I don't know, this doesn't make a lot of sense, blah, blah, blah. My guess for what's happening behind the scenes is that Goldman Sachs is involved with the whole Apple credit card, and all of these people are going to form a new organization and do the cryptocurrency, but it's just going to appear. That way lawmakers don't have a chance to respond. It's like, oh, that's not Facebook. That's Goldman Sachs plus Facebook plus whatever. And it doesn't have to be Goldman Sachs. It could be some other finance organization. It might be Jamie Dimon. We don't know.
But here's the thing. Goldman Sachs is a powerful criminal organization. There's no question about it. Facebook is a powerful criminal organization.
Their interests are aligned on this thing. So
you join all their powers together and you have a truly monolithic, powerful criminal organization. None of those come close to that of the Federal Reserve, the ultimate criminal organization. You don't mess with them.
Well, there goes the monetization.
And they in turn control the IRS, the most intense criminal gang. in the world, and they will not tolerate.
Wasn't the IRS supposed to be abolished after the war was over?
The IRS was created to service the Federal Reserve, as was the income tax. Facebook sells ads. That's how they make their money. And what we've learned is that Facebook has caught a lot of flack because you can advertise things that people don't like. And when you advertise things that people don't like, you get backlash. So Facebook has set up these rules where when you see an ad, you can dislike it and you can tell them why you dislike it. And for example, if you say that it's like bad science or fake news or something like that, you can get it taken down. And you can do that even in cases where it's a really mundane thing.
How flat earthers nearly derailed a space photo book. Now, I didn't get a chance to read this because New York Times. But I think I saw this somewhere else. And this guy was working on raising money for a photo book of space. And the flat earthers were like, space? That's fake news.
Yeah, well, what he wants to do is he wants to photograph all of these NASA artifacts, like the moon landing suits. They've still got them. And, you know, pieces of the spacecraft, whatever. He wants to do like a coffee table book type of thing for that. But what he didn't realize is that's very expensive because it turns out they're hard to photograph. Like you can see, you got to suspend it from, and it's like some of these things are old and delicate. And it's like, if you have a spacesuit, how do you photograph that? Well, it turns out you have to fill it full of air and pressurize it. And you have to do that at NASA. They don't let you take it home. So he was like, hey, I'm going to need a lot more money to do this, but I know a lot of you have expressed interest, so I'm going to put up a Kickstarter or, you know, some kind of crowdfunding. And you can pre-buy it, and you can donate to it, and then you'll get a copy and whatever. And he bought a couple of $300 and $400 ads. They were all shut down by way of being bad science and fake news.
Now, we need to call up the Cambridge Analytica people and make a deal with them, because if we can make sure that the flat earth people are not allowed to, like, we can isolate them somehow, send them out to Australia or something, that would probably be good.
Why would you do that to the Australians?
Well, maybe some deserted island somewhere, they can all live by themselves. They need to, like, not eat. Maybe, I wonder if we can model, like, that type of misinformation. Like, does misinformation spread like a virus?
But it wasn't just flat earthers. The moon landing deniers were also very active.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
I wonder if, like, you know, Huxley or Plato or Socrates could have foreseen that these types of problems would be the problems of modern society.
I think Huxley maybe, but, you know, like during Plato's time, like you don't get this kind of garbage when food is an issue.
Yeah.
Because these people are too busy trying to eat. So you have to become really comfortable to get into this level.
It's very, I would like to do something about this, but I don't.
You're almost always going to run into unintended consequences trying to do something about this.
That's just crazy.
Yeah, that's when you get the government. Yeah, you know, like their solutions to things.
Well, which then becomes Orwellian.
I'm not sure how I managed to incorrectly sort these and not put this in the Facebook section because it's another Facebook story. And this one's interesting because we talked about, well, for example, the WebKit thing, which was the last episode. Those like buttons and the Facebook pixel and the login with Facebook, they are the cornerstone of Facebook's web of tracking. So you don't necessarily have to be using Facebook for Facebook to keep an eye on you and what you're doing on other websites. And now, because of things like GDPR and being called out for Cambridge Analytica, they have to tell you about that, which is pretty amazing.
You can finally see all of the info Facebook collected about you from other websites. So this is a new tool called Off Facebook Activity. Now, that was part of the announcements. That was like the whole academics thing more than 16 months ago. So I guess they don't figure that this part is particularly damning, but that the one of the things mentioned in the article was like, your porn preferences, if the porn site has like button integration.
Or log in with Facebook.
Yeah.
What's interesting about this, so now that you can look at the activity, but they've also got a clear history button. And you might think that deletes it, but you'd be wrong about that. It divorces it from your account. Although I don't think they explicitly say that anonymizes it.
Yeah, it's definitely. I'm sure that they could piece that back together.
Yeah, they still could tell that that's you. It's just not going to appear on this dashboard anymore. So I think that button's probably a placebo.
Yes.
But at least you can find out, you know, it might help some people understand what Facebook is when they see that, you know, 500 pages of Pornhub clicks that they have on their history.
I think that no one will ever see what Facebook is because it is literally like the Cthulhu creatures in like Call of Cthulhu, where it's like if you could look at it and understand what it was, you would just go insane.
I suppose. I certainly don't want to look at it. And I'm sure, you know, despite not having an account, I have a...
Yeah, profile? Yeah, we all do.
Twitter has taken a stand. And it's interesting. I wonder, my big question is, where do they draw the line here? Because they say state controlled. But how do you define that?
Twitter blocks state controlled media outlets from advertising on its social network. Now, I think this is... It's well-intentioned, but I think this is going to backfire because I would really rather know if an advertisement is like from China Daily News or like Russia Today or somewhere like that.
Well, they did draw a line, there's a discrepancy. So it's like state-run would be like those Chinese news agencies that are literally the Chinese government. And there's no secret about it.
So the BBC can't advertise anymore?
No, BBC can because they are state-run. But something like RT, they consider to be state-controlled. That is not officially part of the government of Russia, but funded by it in some way.
I don't know if you listened to some of the stories from Hugh Laurie about stuff that they were trying to get past the BBC when they were doing a bit of Fry and Laurie. It seems like it's state-controlled, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, it is, unapologetically. That's why it's okay. Like, it gets past the rule because it's state-run, not state-controlled.
State control, that's what I meant, because...
No, but state-run, they still get to make the rules. They're just not pretending not to be that.
Oh, okay.
So, but, in my mind, don't you think CNN and Fox News
are definitely state-controlled? Also CNN, yeah.
So, again, where do you draw the line?
Well, is state synonymous with, like, the Koch brothers there, because... Well, here's to a happy reunion soon.
You think the other one's taking up double duty? And moving on to nonsense, we have one of the most confusing and terrifying stories that we've ever covered.
This is only confusing because the author of this article was deliberately very uncomfortable writing about this subject matter.
But also, in my mind, this is a massive contradiction. Let's see if you caught on to the same thing.
Man arrested for botching castration on victim he met on the dark web, deputies say. So, this guy had set up a hotel room or something, like a medical ward.
This was his house. He had done the hotel room one previously.
Okay. See. And I think that it's a role play thing, but he took it a little too seriously and actually castrated it.
No. Okay, so therein is my confusion, right? They describe this as a castration fetish. But a fetish is inherently sexual, right?
Yeah.
So, like, if the idea of being castrated arouses you, when you wake up after the castration, you can never have that again. It's really a one-time thing.
But the guy that they had to take to the hospital for the castration was the second time he had done that or something.
No, it was the second time this guy had done it.
Oh, okay.
So the timeline is this guy claimed that he had experience. So I guess there's, you know, two sides of the coin with the castration fetish. There's the castrator and the castratee. This guy liked being the castrator. So he had found another guy, and they had done the hotel room thing, which is what you're talking about. The same thing happened. He botched it, took that guy, dropped him off at a hospital, and then nothing ever came of it. No charges. I guess they couldn't find him. This time around, he did it at his house, screwed it up again, and it's massive bleeding and, you know, that stuff. Dialed 911, but then got cold feet and hung up. Well, when you hang up on 911, guess what happens?
They're still there.
Yeah, they show up. And when they showed up, he was very frank, and he was like, oh, yeah, I was castrating this guy, and there's some bleeding.
This really should have been the last story of nonsense, but
I think we got one that's just as good. for the last time. I like to start strong and end strong. We live in a college town, and I have noticed two things. Now, the college students have come back. You know, it's that time of year. We're back for the fall semester. I've noticed two things. First of all, blue and pink hair off the charts. There's so much blue and pink hair. It's amazing. The other thing, every one of them vapes. There are so many vape clouds. And that's bad news for our young people.
The Verge has the article that more than 100 vapers have contracted a severe lung disease per CDC. 153 people have been diagnosed. So shortness of breath and some other symptoms, you might have this lung disease. Turns out having this vapor in your lungs constantly is bad.
Can't rip those huge clouds, man. They don't know exactly what causes it. They don't, obviously vaping is the thing. But they don't know, it doesn't seem like it's like a virus or bacteria. So they don't really know exactly what's going on.
Swamp lung.
I guess.
It'll be funny if they discover that it's like a malfunctioning like vaporizer or something like that.
Yeah.
Or contaminated fluid.
Well, I'm sure like most of those vaporizer parts are made in China, right?
Oh, we've got bacteria. We've got bacteria and viruses that we got to worry about. What if like vape technology is like the perfect environment for lichens, and now we have these like, you know, malicious attacking lichens where it's like, oh, it's a hybrid.
And that could be like a zombie apocalypse where they take over your body, but then you're still, you know, moving around. You're just controlled by it. Could be like a cordyceps type deal where it's the zombie apocalypse, but all they want is more vape.
That's basically college already.
They want more vape and communism. I put this story in just for Krista because I thought, surely to God, she wasn't going to miss an entire month.
She is legit scared of black holes.
She's terrified of them. And you know what? Maybe everybody else should be too now that we know this new information.
Scientists are 99% sure they have just detected a black hole eating a neutron star. This is actually really cool. This article talks a little bit about that and how they did that. But there's this new thing, relatively new thing in astronomy. Well, probably not, astronomy is not the right word, but looking at stuff in space. Multi-messenger astronomy, which means that the first thing that happened is they detected the gravitational waves. There was a disturbance in the force, specifically the gravitational force, that was the herald of a black hole eating a neutron star, probably, because we've seen one black hole eating another black hole, and we've seen neutron stars merging. This one was a little different. And that is the first thing that is detectable. And based on where those gravitational waves came from, we can point all of our optical instruments in that general direction and look for other things that come later. So this is so far away. The gravity waves, I guess, got here 2 years ago, and now we're expecting the optical component any day now.
If the remnants of a neutron star can escape a black hole, no one knows. Because as far as anybody knows, we've never seen anything like this. We've never encountered a black hole eating a neutron star. What's cool about this is the neutron star and the black hole are two of the end games for a star. So it's kind of like a giant boss fight. Although I don't think there's any universe in which the neutron star ever wins.
No.
It always loses. But, you know, maybe it'll put up a good fight.
I'm not sure if we've ever detected a black hole evaporating on the gravitational wave thing, because theoretically, I guess if Hawking is right, black holes could evaporate.
You could read this headline before I resized the window, but now the ad blocker hides it. But you can still read the title bar.
Well, the title bar says, Maple Falls man allegedly damaged power lines and meter boxes.
Oh, that leaves out the most important part about this story.
I missed this one.
So this actually will create a little bit of, a lead up to the story. So what happened was, this guy was just running around cutting meter boxes and power lines.
Why?
All over the place. And people kept calling. They were like, hey, my power went out. And I saw a guy with bolt cutters running through the yard. So they tracked him down. The reason he was doing it, and it seems obvious in hindsight, was to stop the KGB, because the KGB was using those power lines to steal certain information, and he needed to prevent that. How did he know? Ariana Grande had notified him and let him know that he needed to cut these wires.
I look forward to the day where, like, we're in it being interviewed, or like somebody shows up and it's like, somebody was saying that you guys told him to whatever on the Level One news, and it's like, what now?
That will be a milestone of popularity, won't it? Here is the best part about this story. The police were familiar with this guy.
Of course they were.
Why? Because he was doing similar stuff the week before. And he gave the same excuse about the KGB. In one case, he had broken into a man's garage, moved everything to the curb, and when questioned, he said, "No, the KGB stole that, and I'm giving it back to the community." He was released under his own recognizance from jail each time.
Well, I mean, I don't think the jails are equipped to deal with people that have a mental illness.
Yeah, that's a big thing, because we got rid of all the
yeah.
the insane asylums and stuff. And you literally, if you're crazy, you go to jail. Which,
well, it's actually for the people that are internationals, this is the pattern of what happens. Is like, this person is clearly not mentally stable, but they will keep doing escalating things until they do something that is actually a crime, and then they just end up in jail. When clearly, there was not criminal intent here. The dude's just legit insane.
But
better than not having them in public, I guess, but not a very functional.
But also, creates a real bad situation in the jail.
Yeah.
Because what do you do with that person?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, if you're... Okay, think about it from a perspective of the Department of Corrections, right?
Yeah.
You've got a guy who did a fairly minor crime, and as far as you know, isn't violent, just annoying. And he's every single day, he's painting the entirety of his cell with human feces, and you have to clean that up. What are you going to do?
Straight jacket, just solitary.
Just pop him back in the street. No, you can't. Straight jacket's cruel and unusual.
Oh.
So you just get rid of him. You just promote him out to the real world again.
He's harmless.
And he might be, you know, unless you're a power line. Do you remember?
Where did you get the bolt cutters?
Probably stole them. Do you remember the Red Bull gives you wings?
Yeah.
And that Red Bull started doing that event where you try to drive your glider off the big... You remember seeing that thing?
Yeah.
So it was like, yeah, literal wings. Literal wings. Well, the Canadians don't quite understand the nuances of advertising.
Red Bull is paying $10 to Canadians who thought it would actually give them wings.
That's right, folks.
Were those the flat earthers?
Now, I call out the Canadians. Unfortunately, we can't, you know, stand on any higher ground here, because what happened was one of the guys who started this lawsuit, we did a class action here in the U.S., and he tried to be a part of that, but they were like, "No, you're Canadian. You can't do this." So his answer was, do the same thing in Canada. And I
successfully, apparently.
$850,000 is the pot. So they estimate you'll get about $10 a piece.
Is this like the $130 or Equifax thing where it's actually going to be like $1.50?
But it's only $10. Yeah. You know what? I constantly get these little mailers. They're basically just postcards that you peel apart. And most of them are in Japanese. There's a tiny little section in English, and it's from the guy who's managing the Mt. Gox. Because I had a little bit of Bitcoin in there, and he's just, you know, laboriously reporting the things that are happening with that.
Wow. What an incredible waste of money sending you those postcards. Yeah. Like, wouldn't you rather just have that as cryptocurrency?
I don't imagine I'm ever getting anything back. And I think I had like 0.1, although... That's more now than it was then, for sure.
Yeah.
Well,
all that Bitcoin still exists somewhere, too. It's the really annoying
thing. Somebody's got that. This is a terrifying story, and the reason why is very impressive. And it kind of... This is a harbinger of a terrifying future if global warming and climate change is what they say it is.
Hurricanes are causing more aggressive spiders to evolve. And so this is in North Carolina?
Yeah, it's one of the Hurricane Alley places. Or...
And so, like, what happens is one of these storms comes through with really high winds, and it, you know, wipes out the insect population. The spiders have to be more aggressive in that situation when the spider pop, or when the rest of the insect, there's nothing for the spiders to eat. So they have to be more aggressive. And repeated hurricane seasons that wipe out insect populations are producing this trait in spiders.
Now, if you're like me, you read this and you said to yourself, how the hell do you measure that? What do you do? Well, it turns out they actually have a scientific way of doing this. They go and they track webs, although spider webs are kind of, you know, like temporary structures. So I imagine they have to do this fairly quickly. But what they do is they go and they'll tap on the web and they'll study it. And they measure aggression by how many and how quickly spiders show up to deal with whatever tapped the web. And what they figured out is in cyclone areas and hurricane areas, a lot of angry spiders show up when you tap the web because they've learned that, you know,
if they don't deal with it now, they're not going to get anything.
Exactly. Make hay while the sun shines, as their little spider brains are telling them. And so it just keeps getting worse.
I, for one, would like to see Disney's remake of Charlotte's Web with like a much more metal and aggressive Charlotte. That would be amazing.
It's just, it's 5 minutes of video, and at the end, there's a pig-sized cocoon, and Charlotte is just like just bloated.
The most amazing heavy metal ever. Yeah.
So we've had all these challenges and internet trends, and one is more horrific than the next, and they're all so stupid. And when you see a headline like this, you feel a little bit better about the world.
Arrest warrant issued in ice cream licking incident in Texas. This guy's probably already been picked up by now. So, I don't... The short version of this is some dude went into a Walmart on social media. He recorded a video of him going into a Walmart and opening a can of Blue Bell ice cream and licking it and then putting it back. But, and then, you know, that was it. That was the end of the video. But store surveillance footage they found later showed him actually buying that. But because of people freaking out online, they figured out what Walmart it was. And then that Walmart was just like, we're going to throw away all of the Blue Bell ice cream. So dude licked the ice cream, bought the ice cream that he opened and licked in the store, but it didn't show that on social media. And so the prosecutor in this is like, okay, we're going to get him for criminal mischief because, you know, freak out, like causing a public freak out or whatever.
But do we, and I guess it depends on the angle of the camera, but do we for sure know that he couldn't have sleight of handed and grabbed a different carton?
Walmart's own surveillance footage shows him buying the same carton.
Okay. Wow. You know, I don't like it when people eat the food in the grocery store.
I don't like it when ice cream companies don't have tamper-evident packaging.
Well, I think, now this was a paper carton, right? And they do have like the tear strip.
Well, it looked like he just popped the top off, and it was like you couldn't tell.
I've noticed more and more ice cream going to that, I assume, because of these stories. Now, of course, this trend started with the one girl on Twitter who did it, also at a Walmart, and that Walmart also had to throw away all of the ice cream.
Now, up until the point that they were like, oh, he actually did buy the ice cream, I would have been all for the death penalty.
Yeah. I mean, that is a threat to public health, for sure.
Right up there with pooping on the walls.
It's like, it should be death penalty by gavaging ice cream. How great would that be?
People foie gras.
Bluebell, that's a cow as their mascot, right? Yeah. So you make a great Bluebell fursuit and then televise the Bluebell cow gavaging this guy with their finest ice cream.
I don't think YouTube permits that kind of video anymore. A few years ago, that would have been fine.
We'll put it on BitChute. That's fine. Anderson Cooper. He looks so pensive. We didn't talk about this on the news. It's not, I guess it's kind of technology related, but they had this mysterious explosion in Russia. And
a little bit of nuclear fallout.
just a bit. And it probably was them working on some kind of nuclear weapon or technology, but they're very hush-hush about it.
KGB, I would say.
KGB? And
that's worth an update right there.
So But here's the thing about it. Some people died.
Two people died.
And those people were nuclear scientists.
And a lot of other people got sick.
So, when something like that happens, you know, people, bad things happen, they go to hospitals, and the hospitals test them, and they're like, oh, you're irradiated. So how do you explain that? And the Russian government says it's very simple.
Russia officials blame cesium exposure on Fukushima crabs. So one of the guys went on vacation to Thailand and said, oh, you don't have any external exposure. It is entirely in your digestive tract. So we think that you had irradiated crabs. And Putin was asked about this, and he literally said, it's like, we can't substantiate this, but what doctors are saying this? I need some names. It's like,
So what's the thing about, like, they figured out how many bananas you would need to eat to irradiate yourself to a dangerous level.
It was a lot.
In the thousands, right?
Have you watched the HBO Fukushima thing? Or not Fukushima.
Chernobyl.
Yeah. I haven't watched that yet. Does it have the thing in there about the guy who was begging to die from radiation exposure?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, like, that should have... Like, the people that died had more radiation exposure than that guy, or they died of something else.
But what I'm thinking about with the banana thing is, how many crabs would you have to eat? That'd be a lot of crabs.
It would be a lot of crabs.
Of course, I guess we don't know how exposed each crab was, but you're just eating the legs, and I still think that would be a lot of crab.
Well, there is the best lie has a little bit of truth in it, and hospitals can detect a little bit of those kinds of things. Like, I know somebody that went to Canada and was getting, like, they just had like the little tracer thing. Like, you take this little tracer thing and you pee it out in like 3 days. And the radiation detectors at the border were so sensitive, it was like, you know, surrounded the vehicle with armed people. And it was like, no, I had a medical procedure. And they're like, oh, okay, it's fine. Because I guess I hadn't dialed in the settings. That wasn't too long after 9/11.
What a great way to bring nukes into the country. Just take some of that stuff. Yeah. And it's like, no, look, my pee is orange.
Oh, no, they searched everything. I mean, they took like the side panels off the car and stuff. but it's not like... The hospitals can detect that very tiny level of radiation, and this was many, many times that. But for radiation to actually kill you fairly quickly is an astonishingly high dose. Because, like,
but I'm saying, yeah, I'm considering the fact that this guy had a high dose. I'm saying, how many crabs would result in this dose? It would have to be a lot of crabs.
He would have to gavage on crabs.
Which would be tough to do, because you'd have to, like, mix them down into a slurry, and that's not something you want to do on a Taiwanese vacation.
Yeah. Now, you could definitely eat crab that is not good for you. Like, some of that stuff gets like into your thyroid gland, and like the danger is that you that it becomes a part of your body, and then it's there being radioactive forever, which is like one of the great things with your thyroid and iodine. That's iodine, I guess. Because that prevents your thyroid from taking up the radioactive material, so you pee and poop it out.
That was actually a big part of the Chernobyl story, because, you know, it played out such a long amount of time, and it was, you know, these people died immediately. These people were dead by the time the trial came around. These people knew they were dying during the trial because of all the cancer, and it was just like, yeah, everybody's going to die. It's dark. But it's different levels of it.
The one guy that had like just the right exposure, they kept him alive artificially for a long time, and they should just let him die. That was very, like, there's videos of that, and it was very, very disturbing.
Yeah, the whole thing was pretty disturbing.
I mean, he was like, his arm fell off, and he was just like, let me die. And they were like, no, we're gonna keep you alive.
Now, you said we should do the castration thing is the final story, but I think this is better for the final story because it's somewhat uplifting. And it shows that, but just because a symbol or a thing has fallen from grace, it doesn't mean it can't rise again like the phoenix.
I really wish we could use this as part of the thumb, but there's no way we can. Pepe the Frog, an alt-right symbol in the U.S., has emerged as the face of the Hong Kong protests. So the creator of Pepe the Frog says that... Pepe is a symbol of love, and the Hong Kong protesters have embraced that meaning, I think.
I think it's a matter of people in Hong Kong not really understanding. So here we have a, of course, a MAGA hat makes you an evil fascist. And we have that with Pepe there. And a lot of people do definitely now associate. Of course, Pepe was a 4chan thing. And then 4chan was also branded as that. Maybe rightly so in a lot of cases. But the Chinese didn't have any idea about any of that. And they just like Pepe. Because Pepe is inherently likable. There's something about him.
Yeah. Better than Winnie the Pooh. If they had adopted Winnie the Pooh, pretty sure Hong Kong would have already been nuked.
Now, this raises the question, and I'm guessing probably already in the works, how long before all instances of those fresh Pepe memes are banned beyond the Great Firewall?
I would say by the time this episode goes live, there are already several stories that we will cover next week about that.
Do you think if you post a Pepe image on the, you know, the internal communication stuff, are they using that active filter?
Yeah, deleted.
To get rid of him?
Yeah.
That's going to be hilarious. Because the great thing about Pepe is there's so many Pepe memes, so they're going to have to work overtime. And if they do like a loose image recognition AI, how much is Kermit the Frog going to suffer from this?
I think that we're not very far away from the Great Firewall of China AI from being good enough to do in real time. Like in the episode of The Simpsons, where Lisa had a pen pal in like some ambiguous Eastern Europe country, and Lisa's reading the letter and it's being read in like the little girl's voice with like the, you know, the English accent, like the, or the Eastern European accent, but it's being read in English. And then like the voice changes to like a grizzled, haggard old general dude. That's what the Great Firewall of China is doing in real time in software with this stuff.
What would you replace Pepe with?
Probably, All Hail the Emperor and Long Live China and China Number One, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, they are number one in certain categories.
All Hail Dictator Chang. All right, that's it for the news this week. Maybe next week we'll have Krista.
I'd say there's a 40% chance.